Thank you very much for joining me. Our phone lines are filling up. We'd love to hear from you as we talk this evening with open phone lines. Make sure you stop by and check out the Coast to Coast AM website. Check out all the cool news stories they've got there. Some really interesting articles are popping up. There's some new information regarding DB Cooper. Perhaps one of the codes have finally been cracked. You can also read about the Grand Warlock of Mexico, who predicts no war with North Korea in 2018. He's a very popular psychic in Mexico, and he's issued his annual predictions for the new year, and the forecast seems to bode well for most of us. You can also check out the article about our Sorcery Stoppers, which has been formed in India due to an unsettling increase in sorcery incidents. A community in India is creating rapid response teams to quickly squash cases of superstition that threaten to turn ugly. Then there's an interesting article, too, about a phantom bike that's been spotted in Malaysia. A proverbial ghost bike was purportedly filmed cruising down a highway in Malaysia. But viewers are divided over whether it's a supernatural scene or simply a viral scheme, which I think that Dear David, I don't know if many of you keep reaching out to me and asking if we can get the cartoonist, the guy that's having this experience with this kind of deformed boy ghost to have him on the show. I know we've reached out to him for our show, Beyond the Darkness. I'm sure George has reached out to try to get him on Coast. I'm not getting much of a response. I can't speak for George at this point, but I kind of think that's a viral marketing tool that's going on right there. I wouldn't be surprised if he's trying to sell a story or something from that. But we'll keep an eye on that story. But check out Coast to Coast AM, and you'll be able to see all that information, all those great new articles. And I'll be back again with you tomorrow. Dr. James Hart will be my guest. He's the president and founder of Bio Cybernaut Institute. He's going to discuss how people can actually change their lives through the alpha feedback system, experiencing powerful new bursts of creativity, emotional renewal, and even some spiritual epiphanies. We'll get deeper into that tomorrow. And then Alan Steinfeld, who's a writer, producer, and speaker in the fields of human potential, metaphysics, consciousness, evolution, spiritual awakening, and cosmic intelligence, will join us. He's had a chance to work with the Aboriginal people and find out about their version of the end of time and our cosmic origins as a species and the power of creativity to raise new levels of consciousness. That's tomorrow when I sit in for George Norrie. We'll take your calls next here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. We've got your phone calls for the remainder of tonight's show. First time caller line, we've got Lyman in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, sir. What did you want to chat about tonight?
Well, I was going to play the lottery, but I thought I'd call you instead.
Well, you win either way. What's going on, sir?
Oh, boy. I've been tormented all my life. Somebody asked me one time, what is time? T-I-M-E. And it's taken 80 years to learn that it is costly. But I have a concern about infinity, listening to Mr. Frank talking about the cosmos and everything. There's the future, and then there's now, and then there's the past. Well, the future doesn't exist because it's not here, right? And the past doesn't exist because it's gone, right? So that only leaves now. Now, my question is, I'm not a mathematician, but I've always thought about it. It's tormenting. What is the time duration of now? Is it 1/10 of a second, or 1/100 of a second, or 1/10,000th of a second, or 1/1,000,000th of a second? And you can always add a zero to the denominator, so that it looks like to me there's no such thing as now either. So everything is an illusion. What do you say about that?
I'm with you. I think time is relative to what you're experiencing. You know, for many of it, you said 80 years. Is that how old you are now?
Well, I'll be 83 in April, and I'm really feeling it.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. At 83 years old, you've seen a lot, you've experienced a lot, and there have probably been moments that went by in the blink of an eye and other moments that you've had that seem to stretch on into infinity. And I think it's how we learn to conceptualize time. You know, I've noticed, and we talked about this about a year or two ago on our show, we were talking about being in a car accident, how all of a sudden time seems to slow way down. And in the car accident I was in with my son, we hit an ice patch and began spinning. And during that whole time, we remained very calm. And I remember turning to my son and saying, "I'm really sorry. This is going to get bad." "Oh, don't worry, Dad. I understand." And I said, "No, this is, we're going to get hit. This is rush hour." And we had this full conversation during these brief seconds of spinning in traffic. And then we went down into the ditch, and I told him, I said, "Oh, I think we're going to be safe." And then the car leapt and started to come out the other side into traffic.
Oh, my.
And I said, "Hold on, son, this is going to hurt." And he said, "It's okay, Dad, I love you. It's going to be fine." And I realized the reason that that moment took so long was because for one of the only times in my life, I was in that moment. I wasn't worried about what was going to come next. I wasn't worried about what I'd done before. I was in that moment in time and experiencing it as it happened. And I think as we hear a lot of people discuss being in accidents like this, how time will slow, or when something major happens to them, they get the call that somebody has passed away or there's been an accident. And
well, that's subjective, isn't it?
Right, it's subjective.
Sure. Hot burn, one tenth of a second seems like eternity.
Yes, exactly. But again, it's what is your perception of what time means at that moment? And there are people as well, though, that can hold their hand over an open flame and you won't see blistering and you won't see a burn scorch mark that you would see on yours or my hand. Is that because they're
a doctor, so I could understand that.
Right. But is it that they're figuring out a way to manipulate time, that to them what seems like forever to you and I is, or, you know, seems like that had burned us, we would have been in a lot of trouble. It was a totally different concept of time. I'm not sure. It's a fascinating aspect of how we work as a human, but I'm trying to, you know, I just hit 50 years old and my whole goal is I want to start living more in that moment, live more in those times, not in a moment of crisis or negativity, but starting to realize that life goes by way too fast. I sneezed and I'm 50. I remember thinking when I was a kid, "Oh my God, I'm going to be 30 someday. That's old." And then I was 35, and then I was 45, and now I'm 50. So I'm trying to figure out how to capture that moment again where I can start to live in those pockets of time and enjoy them and become one with them. And I think part of it's going to be putting down the electronic devices, being aware of what's going on and being in that moment with my kids, my family, my wife, my friends, whatever it might be, and trying to become one with that time. I think that's how we start to gain control over time again.
It's awfully peculiar. Life is exceedingly peculiar. I wonder just what's behind it. And you say that things like, they talk about the universe. Well, mm-hmm. The universe is not limited. If you say uni, that means one. That means limitation. The universe mm-hmm. cannot be limited. It's a very difficult concept, but a tormenting one. And I thank you for listening to this because I've studied infinity, even though I'm not qualified for it, but infinity.
Well, who says you're not qualified to study? That's our whole purpose on life and in life is to study and educate and become more than what we were told we should know and understand. So keep up the good work. 83 years old and you're continuing to educate yourself. That's the way to be, Lyman, because remember, you're either ripening on the vine or you're dying. And as long as you're ripening, you've got something to keep working toward.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening and being a part of the show with us. Wild card, line one, Tom in the Bronx. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I'd like to say this. First, I'd like to say several things. First of all, global warming to me
uh-huh.
is really global weather instability because you get extreme cold weather like we're getting now with all the snow in New York City and the East Coast. And you can get vicious warming that goes on. Second of all, I like to say that the ozone layer is, believe it or not, and part of it's due to these space shots that puts a lot of chemicals into the upper into space, into the upper atmosphere, where it acts like an enzyme on the ozone. And the ozone, unfortunately, I don't want to scare anybody, but there is an estimation that they've got at least, it has at least 10 more years of living, meaning that after 10 years, a lot of hideous rays from space will be coming on Earth and will have an outbreak of skin cancers galore. It's a terrible thing to say, but that's what's going on.
I hope you're wrong. I hope that's not
the
case.
I hope I'm wrong, too. Believe me. I hope I'm wrong, too. Now, I'd like to say one more thing.
Sure, Tom.
Coast to Coast does what it always does. It lets people talk on the radio. It doesn't look to micromanage voices. I was on a rather talk program, and you can tell these individuals were put up like by the CIA was hiring a lot of talk show hosts, and they were people that were in talk show hosts. I said something on that program. The guy is not in that business anymore, but I said something on the program, and I listened to it on the air. And they have machines or equipment that can actually take your voice and cherry pick your voice. And what I said on the air after I spoke was cherry picked, and I said something totally different on there. It's incredible.
Interesting
about that. But in other words, what I had said, the meaning was changed. Do you remember an old TV sitcom named My Little Margie?
Well, yeah, I remember the show. I mean, it's before my time.
My Little
Margie,
when I was a kid, we used to laugh at it. You know, that was humor. There was one episode where her father, the guy that played her father on the sitcom with his boss, had a falling out. And he quit the business, and he was home. And Margie said, "I have to get him back with Honeywell and Todd." And they were advertising. Recorders at that time, tape recorders, and Margie got somebody that was selling tape recorders. He said, "This is what you do. You get your father to say X amount of words, and then we re-edit the words, and then you get Honeywell to say something." And it turned out...
Oh, sure. That's kind of been a device and a bunch of plot point device and things, even like Mission Impossible. They get a guy to say a bunch of different lines, and then they edit the audio so that it says the trigger keywords to get them into a safe or whatever they're looking for. So yeah, I understand that's been happening for a while. Thank you for listening and giving us a call, Tom. Let's go real quickly to Tom west of the Rockies. We've got Tom in Port Angeles, Washington. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Schrader.
Hi.
I'll touch briefly on global warming. Anytime you put more heat into a semi-closed system, it becomes more dynamic. Right? And it also becomes less consistent. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
I called on something called what I call a leadership paradox. In one of the conversations I get into about the drug wars and everything is, you know, people just think that they go off about how crummy government is and what the corruption is, and you know, we spent all this money and it was useless, it didn't happen, and it didn't work. And I started asking them, how do they know that? And you get a varied element of response on that, but hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, I get, you know, very limited responses on that, because one of the things about leadership that you don't get to know is what the future is going to be like by the time you get to where what your efforts have done. We dumped a lot of money into that drug war. We dumped a lot of money trying to keep that stuff out. And I want to guarantee you know, the rest of the audience, and Cornelius as well, right? Your money wasn't wasted, and you have no idea how bad things could be right now. if we hadn't dumped all that money into that project and all over that span of time. And I thank you for taking my call, Dave.
Thank you for calling in and being part of our show with us. We appreciate it. All right, we've got more phone calls coming in. More lines are lighting up. Remember, you can also send me an email, dave@darknessradio.com, dave@darknessradio.com. Let's go wildcard line three. Ziggy in Canada, you're on the air.
Hello there, Dave. How are you doing?
Good, Ziggy. What did you want to chat about?
I would like to talk about the World Juniors of Hockey, if I may.
I'm sorry, say it again. The what?
The World Juniors of Hockey. The junior players of hockey.
All right, I'll give you a minute or so on that. What did you want to discuss?
I would like to discuss that I was very disgusted this evening when I was watching Team Canada and Sweden were playing, and when the Team Sweden players were getting their silver medals, the captain for Team Sweden, when he got his silver medal, he took it off around his neck and he threw it over the glass.
Well, that's not good sign of sportsmanship, is it?
Well, exactly, and I was just wondering what can be done about this, you could say, young individual, as I'm saying it very loosely, young individual.
Well, thanks for calling in, Ziggy. I don't know. I guess we just need to start teaching more respect to our youngsters and start showing them that they need to show respect in all of these different cases. Wild card line for Nick in Clovis, California. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hey, Nick, what did you want to chat about? We have a few minutes left.
Okay, so really briefly, glad to be on the show. I'm glad to finally be able to talk to you. You wouldn't believe how many people there's been online tonight. It's been crazy. But mostly, I guess actually just an approach to the earlier topic of tonight, actually kind of keeping things a little bit centered, was the idea that humanity can progress on two different fronts. We have the home environment, which we need to take care of, which we need to foster and create a suitable habitat for us and our you know, successors. But also at the same time, we do have efforts that we can measure towards space travel. And more locally than you think. I mean, there are technologies that we can use to adapt to environments on Mars, or even Jupiter, or in other planets that we can habitat within our own solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, there should be more positivity towards both of these fronts, at least. Because, I mean, it's sort of discouraging every day to hear that, oh, well, such and such is going terribly, and it's, you know, all our fault. But then we should also take those moments to try to examine how we can actually solve the problems here and put our efforts towards, actual space travel.
You know, what I think needs to be done is that we really need to kind of focus on getting our ducks in a row here. Starting to fix the things that we've got going wrong on planet Earth before we start worrying about where we can go mess up another planet next. and bioengineering that. But we have enough stuff that's going on here that I think if we spent that same money that we're going to spend in all of this exploration, that money could go a long way to ending the homeless crisis and starvation and medical issues and needs that we have right here, and helping to fix our prison systems and our legal systems and bolster politics so that we can have people that are actually in there working for the people instead of for their independent needs and wants and desires, which I seem to think is what we're getting more and more of. Thank you for calling and giving us some thought-provoking information. Give us a call. We want to hear from you next on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks a lot for tuning in and spending some time here with me this evening. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. Phone lines are open. We'll continue taking your calls through the end of tonight's show. I'll be back again tomorrow with you to spend some more time looking into high strangeness. Your calls are next. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hello, welcome back to the show. This is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader, the host for the evening. And if you're interested in the strange and paranormal, check out my radio show 5 days a week, Beyond the Darkness. You can find all the information at our website, darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com. Plus, you can keep up with where I'm going to be and get a chance to visit with me as well. Joyce Keller sent in some predictions for 2018. She says no war with North Korea and the complete disappearance of Kim Jong-un. So that's what her belief is for 2018. Eventually, the dollar will be replaced with cryptocurrencies. Pregnancy before or at the same time as Meghan and Harry's wedding. They're the big hot couple. AT or artificial intelligence challenges mortality with cloning problems. Creation of underwater technology to combat climate change. Number six, especially damaging earthquakes in Italy and New Zealand. Number seven, she's got here two potential bombings in New York City, Rockefeller Center and the UN building. Number eight, Florida's hit with even more damaging hurricanes, mostly due to engineered weathering. Number nine, many more sexual accusations of celebrities and politicians. It's as if it's just starting up. She believes this year will also show the death of two ex-presidents. And her final prediction, a little more UFO disclosure, but not much, and many more cover-ups. Thanks for reading this, Dave. And that comes from Joyce Keller. Thank you for sending that in. I was interested what some of the different points would be for this year. We'll see how that folds out. All right, we've got more calls. Let's go wild card line to Mary in New Jersey. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
This is a little controversial. Genesis, Adam and Eve were clothed with skins, and I believe that the skins were already piled behind the tree because I don't believe snakes eat apples, and I don't think God would have killed his animals at that point in time, not in that point in time, and I think it has to do with original sin, and I think he reminded them all through the Bible what happened.
All right, thank you, Mary. We appreciate the call. Let's go west of the Rockies. Carrie in Fresno, California. You're on the air.
Well, hello, David Schrader.
Well, hello, Carrie. Thank you.
Or shall I say good morning? Okay,
whatever works.
I just want to let you and your audience know that somebody won Mega Million.
Wasn't me.
Well, it wasn't me either, but I think from what they said on the news, it was in Florida.
Well, good. So, they need a little sunshine down there.
Now, my other comment is in terms of the Trump proposal to drill, you know, for oil from Northern California to Southern California, including the Central Coast. The one problem I would have with that right now, unless I could be, you know, advised differently, is that we are in a seismically active area here. Would it be that great of an idea to be drilling up and down the coast of California for oil? That's my question. I know you can't, you know, yourself answer that question, but, you know, it was just something I was thinking about tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of scary to consider, isn't it?
Yes, because, you know, we're on a lot of faults.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and you don't want to necessarily be messing with stuff. Thanks
well,
a lot for
know,
the...
you know, well, I'm not going to say anything more. Anyway, that's my idea about it in terms of, you know, what is...
No, that's a good reason to have some concern, Carrie. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, do you want to start messing in the seismic plate areas and maybe set something off? I don't know. I don't even know if that's possible. Is that fracking, I think, is causing all kinds of situations like that, too. So could that inspire worse tragedies? God, I hope not. Let's go east of the Rockies. We've got Don in Kent, Ohio. Don, welcome to the show.
Brother Dave, happy Sabbath, buddy.
Thank you.
I wanted to wish Cornelius, he's one of my favorite callers, a happy birthday. Boy, I tell you what, you can get some whacked out religious people calling you up, you know. I do study Bible prophecy along with, you know, Hopi Indian prophecy, end time prophecy, things like that. And I wanted to leave the people a little bit of comfort. In Genesis 8, it says, this kind of destroys Al Gore and the myth of global warming. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So that's a promise. And I'm sure you're familiar with the Noahic promise where God said he would never flood the earth again. And in order to seal that promise, he put his covenant or a rainbow in the sky as a sign of that. So, you know, that's another promise we don't have to worry about. I'm going to leave you with this last promise. In Ezekiel, now this ties into Larry Arnold last night with his update on, you know, spontaneous human combustion. God promises to destroy Satan. And it says here, this is Ezekiel Ezekiel 20, therefore will I bring a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So this, you know, Larry Arnold is right on with the spontaneous union, you know, human combustion. There's different modes that, you know, will cause that. But, you know, like I say, it's interesting. And, of course, the, you know, the Bible says in, you know, 2 Peter 1 that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. So the things I just read to you, you should be able to define them pretty close to the same way I did.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. You know, it's always interesting to me is we're not supposed to seek prophecy. Yet we go to the Bible for prophecy, and you know we're supposed to not worry about the past or the future. We're just supposed to live in the present. Yet we're always seeking answers from the Bible on our past and our present and our future. It seems contradictory to me and conflicting. I'm not sure what to make of all of that. I don't know how that one Bible verse ties into spontaneous human combustion. I think that's just more of the things we ingest and you know. The probability that our bodies are just smoldering and you get the right chemical compound mix in there and eventually you just might ignite. Let's go. First time caller line, Bill in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Sure, certainly enjoyed you on the show tonight, man.
Thank you.
Briefly, most people think outside of the Southeast that gold was first discovered, 1848 out in Sutter's Creek, Sutter's Mill, California. But it's actually the first discovery was just north of Charlotte here, the Reed, what became known as the Reed Gold Mine in 1799. And Charlotte used to be a major, this whole area of the Piedmont, North Carolina. At one time, they've been over like 600 different mines opened and closed through the years. So I'm working on, since it was supposedly first discovered in 1799 by a 12-year-old kid, I'm running across records, or just little bits of information here. They say gold was actually mined before the Revolution in this area. I was like, man, you know, 1799 was long enough ago, but you know, try to prove that you know, it goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War days. I mean, some of that just fascinates me in that time, you know.
Sure.
Up at the Reed Mine, you know, this kid, this 12-year-old kid, found a gold, 17-pound solid gold rock in the creek up there, and There was a German family that had moved here, and because back then this we're far enough out, but back in that days he was really a long ways from a neighbor, long ways from anything, you know, farming days. And so one Sunday, his parents, Conrad Reed's parents, went off to church in their horse-drawn wagon or whatever back then, leaving little Conrad and his couple of sisters just to play around the farm. Play in the creek and stuff, you know, while they were going to church. So Conrad saw a stone shining in the clear water, kind of had a metally orange, you know, look to it. He picked it up and found it was surprisingly heavy. So he took it and went and showed it to his dad when they got home, and you know, they just looked at it and didn't really know what they had. And it was a 17-pound nugget of almost totally pure gold.
Boy, I could use a stumble upon mistake like that in my life.
Ooh. You ain't kidding them. They used it as a doorstop for like 3 or 4 years.
Right. Well, isn't that the same with the Gold Nugget Casino? Wasn't that like a big nugget they used to use to, as a doorstop for them as well?
Yeah. That's,
yeah. Crazy stuff. I used to love, I worked in coins for a number of years in collectible, and I loved the old Charlotte and Dahlonega gold and the original California fractional gold pieces that, you know, people used to pay for everything in a pinch of gold dust.
Gold dust, yeah.
Right, and they would hire the guys with the big, meaty, burly fingers, so when they'd reach in, they'd grab a bigger pinch of gold dust to pay for things.
Yeah.
And then they decided, no, we wanted a coinage, so they started minting their own coins in California with those fractional coins. So, I think that whole aspect of our history is fascinating.
He went to a local jeweler weeks after he saw this kid showed him this rock. Asked the jeweler if it had any value, and apparently the jeweler had a one metal mind or something, because he said, nah, not worth much, it's not worth anything, really. Just use it as a doorstop. And he took it on one of his twice-yearly runs to Fayetteville, North Carolina, to get supplies and stuff and to run the farm, you know, back then with and come back. He took it to a jeweler in Fayetteville. The guy recognized it as almost pure gold, bought it, asked him what he wanted to sell it for, and I said John Reed thought the big price of $3.50, let him have it.
Wow.
17 pounds, I mean.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Crazy how that happens. Thanks a lot for calling in and being part of the show, Bill. It's always great to be educated on something new. Wild Card Line 3, Carla in New York. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Carla.
Thank you. I want to talk about the year because the actual year in the Hebrew calendar is 5777.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing this up because the Lord gave Satan 6,000 years to set up his world system and prove his point because he challenged our Creator in integrity and why, you know, in his kingdom, his the way he rules. Is it fine? He gave him the earth, not the earth. He doesn't own the earth, because the Lord owns the earth. He's the Creator. But he gave him this earth to create his world system. And he could be ruler here. That's why he's called the prince of this world. But we've only got 6,000 years. Time was created when Satan did this challenge, and God said, fine, you've got 6,000 years to prove your point. And he created hell for the devil and his angels. And that's when time actually got created. But we never had time. Everything is from eternity to eternity. Man was supposed to have eternal life. And with the fall, that's what happened, that sin entered the world. And when sin enters the world, which was in an entity now, capital S, sin, is the devil. So therefore, you know, that's where we're at. So there is no... I believe that there is no projection of 200 or more years or whatever they want to say. I don't even know if we have 28 years because the Lord said in for when it comes to the latter days, which I thoroughly believe we're in.
The only problem with that to me, Carla, is everybody's believed we're in the latter days since the time of Christ. Everybody believes that this is the end times. I'm just not sure where I buy into it. Thank you for calling in, though. Let's go Wild Card Line 1, Linda. In Canada, you're on the air.
Hi. Happy New Year, Dave.
Happy New Year, Linda. What did you want to share?
Okay. Oh, by the way, the love of my paranormal life is Tom. Okay.
Oh, I'm sure he likes that. Sure.
Oh, for many years, he's wonderful. But when you mentioned about that accident, you know, and how time seems to become different, stressed, I know when you just when you spoke of that, I went, I know what he's talking about. Excuse me. I believe that I think there are entities, spiritual entities on the other side that come through the veil and they redirect what was going to happen because it isn't our time or it's not supposed to be. And maybe we don't consciously realize it, but our subconscious picks it up and they just kind of redirect. And we're actually feeling and maybe not so much seeing, but there's a presence that is, you know, directing our happening on this earth at that moment or moments.
Okay. Well, thank you for the insights on that, Linda. We appreciate it. Let's try to squeeze one more quick call in here. Andy, Wildcard Line 4, trucking in Seattle, listening to the show. Thank you for listening and making us part of your life. Andy, what did you want to talk about?
Hi, Dave. I was just wondering about, you know, the overpopulation thing. I mean, some people believe that we're not overpopulated, that we'll have resources forever for everybody, but I believe there's a limited supply of everything. And I mean, as humans, if we are all God's children and whatnot, don't we have some sort of responsibility in managing our population? We can't do anything about the population that's already here, but future.
Are you just saying that because I got 11 kids and you're just picking on me, Andy? Is that the whole idea?
Well, maybe.
Well, I'll tell you what, you live in Minnesota with the 8 months of the year ice cold and try to find something more entertaining to do. Thank you for calling in, Andy. I don't know if we're going to get to the point of sterilization here or trying to keep the population down. I mean, obviously they've tried it in a few of the different countries and I don't know how successful that's been, but You know, maybe licensing people to pay to have a child beforehand would make people think about it a little bit more. Let's go west of the Rockies. Scott, Folsom, California, you can help us wrap up the show today. Scott, what did you want to share?
Thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to make a point. I think that it's that HAARP project that's causing the weather changes, and more so than anything else. I think what they've done by bombarding that ionosphere for all these years is they made more of a steep curve up and down. It's more up and down now with the jet stream. It used to be more of a flat going across, and now it seems to go way high and then come way down. And I don't know if you noticed it on the weather maps, but it's sort of anecdotal, I will give you that. But they never really explain what they're doing up there with that thing. And it's huge, it's immense, and they're very quiet about it. They may be creating the change in the weather, not us.
Very well possibly could be. Thank you very much for calling in and weighing in as we're wrapping up the episode tonight. It's been a pleasure talking with all of you. I want to thank all the callers from around the United States and around the world that are tuning in and spending some time with us. I love doing open phone lines. Never know what you're going to get. Never know who you're going to talk to, but it's always a pleasure to get a chance to hear some new insights and thoughts on the different topics that we cover. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night on the show. We've got a bunch of new topics to cover tomorrow in human potential and healing within ourselves and what we can do. You might be surprised. Is time travel possible? Could we time travel within our own lifetimes, within our own consciousness? I think we can, and one of our guests is going to debate that and talk about it with me on the show tomorrow. What about the spirit world, ghosts? Are we being haunted by the past, or is it the future? Tune in tomorrow and find out more. I want to thank Dan Galante and Tom Danheiser back at home office for running things and the great music selection tonight, Tommy D. Also to Chris Boros, my producer, Tim Dennis, my engineer here at KNSI, AM 1450 and FM 103.3 in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and of course to Lisa Lyon and the one and only George Norrie. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your world. Be safe, be kind, love one another, and I'll see you again tomorrow on the best in overnight talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.